have spent my whole life scared. Frightened of things that could happen. Might happen, might not happen.
You're listening to the Martinez Perspective. How the hell you doing on this White Power Monday, ladies and gentlemen? Good to see you. Hope you're doing well, folks. See you there in the chat room. How's it going? Welcome back. I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you've been keeping busy. I hope you've been keeping sane, you know, keeping sane, keeping your head in check. You know, people these days are going a little crazy, going a little nutty. So it's always good to unplug and unwind these days. Instead of sitting on your computer all day long. And just watching the bad news and taking in the bad news. Well, that's gonna drive you fucking crazy, man. It will. Alright, if you want to send me a super chat, check in the description box there. Remember to subscribe to me on gab.com. Check out my website, martinezperspective.net as well. So what are we going to be talking about tonight, ladies and gentlemen? That's the big fucking question, isn't it? There's not too much to cover other than this Ukraine stuff, man. This Ukraine business. I gotta be covering this every night. The latest updates, you know? This could go on for years. Probably will. Well, let's start out with some memes. How about we start out with some memes? That's always a good idea. What do we got here? Well, what we have here is a subhuman Untermensch. This cracks me the fuck up, man. Jesus Christ, that's scary, folks. That is scary right there. God damn it. The ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life. She's disgusting. She's fat. She looks like a gremlin with a cage on. My God, man. These people just, they just can't get enough of embarrassing themselves on the internet. That's what the internet is these days, just people embarrassing themselves. What else we got? Oh, we got this meme. Mabio Labs, Nazis, Mabio Labs. This is the latest Q-tard Alex Jones line, and they're all parroting this. These tanky leftists and Q-tard supposed right-wingers. Mabio Labs, Nazis. Let's genocide the people of Ukraine because of Mabio Labs. The latest Q-tard LARP. It's always something, man. They just move on to the next LARP. The next talking point. What else? Oh, this was kind of funny. It said, how close is Alaska to Russia? The narrowest distance between mainland Russia and mainland Alaska is approximately 55 miles. How in the body of water between Alaska and Russia, known as the Bering Strait, there lies two small islands. Interestingly enough, Big Deal Med is owned by Russia, where Little Deal Med is owned by the U.S. The stretch of water between these two islands is about 2.5 miles wide and actually freezes over during the winter, so you could technically walk across it from the U.S. to Russia. So I guess because the U.S. is actually like very, very close to Russia, based on this, Alaska is pretty damn close. I guess that justifies an invasion of the U.S. by Russia, right? This seems to be the logic of the Russians, is they can invade and disarm any country that they claim poses a threat to them that's near their borders. Well, the U.S. is near their fucking borders. Canada is near their borders. Finland's near their borders. So any of these countries can be invaded on the same pretext. But they don't do that, of course, because there'd be severe consequences for doing so. Have they already surrendered yet? We got 90-year-old Putin and a bunch of old army generals. Have they surrendered yet? Sitting in their little bunkers, just waiting for it to come down. Fuck's sakes, man. What else do we got here? This is from Thultide. He said, James Lindsay is correct that wokeness is neo-Marxism, but too cowardly to admit that it's explicitly anti-white and anti-straight. Dissident writers are correct that wokeness is anti-white and anti-straight, but too contrarian to admit that it was invented by Marxists. Isn't that true? Yeah, that is true. So James Lindsay's like a classical liberal. He won't admit it's anti-white because he has to diffuse the reaction to critical race theory and all of that. He has to make sure it doesn't lead into white nationalism, so he just pretends like it's not actually anti-white. And then you got the dissident right, gimps, who pretend that it's not Marxism and try to blame it and pawn off blame onto classical liberals themselves. It's not Marxism, it's the classical liberals that did it. Even though like the leading critics of critical race theory and Marxism are themselves classical liberals, right? James Lindsay, Jordan Peterson, you got, what's his name? Who's the main guy pushing that now? I forget his fucking name. Anyway, whatever his name is, he's also a kind of a classical liberal. Classical liberals did not invent any of this stuff. In fact, they're quite critical of it, but their ideology, of course, allows it to fester because they're weak individualists and they don't want to have a group identity and in-group preference. That's not allowed. So they critique cultural Marxism, but then they offer no solution to it. No good solution. You know, their solution is that everybody should just be race blind and individualist and not see color, race, gender. Netflix waiting for the war to end to make a movie about a black Ukraine guy who falls in love with a transgender Russian soldier. So true. Netflix is just dying to make that movie, aren't they? They're literally doing this. The leftists are, like, everybody is just using this war to project their own shit onto it. They're seeing what they want to see. And these leftist outlets are literally making, like, stories out of nothing, right? How a transgendered Ukrainian man escaped the invasion. I painted my nails violet and wore mom's shirt to look more girly. This is the gayest fucking thing in the world, man. Like, all these homo leftist outlets, trans and non-binary people are trapped in the war-torn Ukraine. Passport detail leaving transgender women trapped in Ukraine. So what they're doing is they're trying to find almost, like, how many transgender people are in Ukraine? It's probably like a couple thousand. And they're just, like, picking out these people to make them into, like, extra victimized. They don't want to talk about, like, the straight, white, blonde hair, blue-eyed Ukrainians. They just pick out the trannies, the non-binaries, the freaks. Pick them out for stories, right? Classic leftists. Oh, we got more leftists here. These are a bunch of tanky communists. Had a conference. This war in Ukraine really has breathed new life into the communist movement, hasn't it? They've come right out, shilling the hell out of that war, aren't they? Look at them with the Z. They got the Donbass flag. They got the Soviet flag. Oh, it's USSR all over again. This is World War II. We're fighting the Nazis all over again. They literally believe this. That has been their song and dance from the beginning, these commies. Actually, that conflict in Ukraine really was like the center point for these communists and Antifas for a long time, right? It's because they saw that, like, the people in Donbass were flying Soviet flags and they're flying Stalinist flags, and then these communists in the West, they saw this, and then a lot of them went over there. I've covered this before. A lot of these communists went over to Donbass to fight under the pretext that they're fighting the Nazis, right? They're fighting the fascist Ukrainians, and they're still saying this. They're still LARPing. It's breathed new life into their grift. They think they have a purpose now. They think they have a new raison d'etre to fight for communism, for global communism. Mask off, right? These are people who call themselves anti-imperialists, man. We're against imperialism. No, you're against the West. You're against white people. You're only against imperialism when it's done by a country that you can say is white so that you can hate on the white race. You love imperialism. You shill imperialism. You bend over backwards and take a stiff Chinese and Kremlin dick up the ass when they do imperialism, or when the Muslims do it. You love it because it's against what you perceive to be the white West. They're phonies, they're frauds. We got the Islamo-Eurasian hordes. Shredohoma Islamo-Eurasianists coming out of the woodwork. These Muslim hordes, they are loving this shit, aren't they? You got these Syrians joining in. You got these Congolese joining in. You got all these people joining in. You got these Palestinians celebrating it. They think they're getting one up on America, man. They're getting one up on the great Satan. There's these people aren't anti-imperialists. These Muslims, these little towel heads, the biggest imperialists in the world. They want to conquer the world. They want Islam in every corner of this planet. These scumbags. My Palestine, man. My Palestine. Free Palestine. Yeah, free Palestine so you can go and invade Europe and do rapes and conquer and colonize, you savage. That's what these people want. They're fakes. All of these people, they've gone mask off with this Ukraine thing. They really have. You know, these are faggots who go around whining and been crying about imperialism all day long, right? Imperialism. Now when Russia's doing it, now when Russia's colonizing a neighboring country, they love the imperialism. They cheer for it. They're calling for China to imperialize on Taiwan. They want imperialism when it's done by their side. You see how it works with these people? Oh, we got a little monkey boy right here. Ah. Monkey boys do the darndest things, don't they? You're a monkey. You're a nigger. What a stupid ape. Gotta love these monkey videos, man. They crack me the fuck up. Let's run through some of these stories here. We got an activist has raided and taken control of a mansion owned by Vladimir Putin's daughter in Biarritz, France. Ukrainian news agency reports that the French activist Pierre Avner broke into the residence, changed the locks, and offered a safe space for Ukrainian refugees. The villa is on France's Atlantic coast, has 8 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. She's the daughter of the Russian leader and reportedly the director of Russia's National Intellectual Development Foundation. So, this chick has a fucking mansion. A huge mansion. Incredible. So how does she have this kind of money, folks? That's the big question, right? Is Vladimir Putin a businessman? Does he make millions of dollars as a state salary? Usually that's not the case. Presidents and prime ministers don't make millions of dollars, do they? So where's he getting the money? Well, he's got a little side hustle going on, doesn't he? Putin's got a little side hustle with these oligarchs. There was a thing when the Panama Papers came out, said he had $2 billion stashed away in offshore accounts. Meanwhile, squatters have gained access to a mansion owned by billionaire Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska in Belgrave Square in central London. Activists broke into the property and hung Ukrainian flags, along with a larger banner reading, "This property has been liberated. Putin, go fuck yourself." So these people have properties all over the world, France, Greece, London. They are filthy, mega rich. How'd they get so rich, man? Do you think they got rich doing, you know, above board business? They're just smart business people. Putin's forces strike close to NATO border. Explosions are heard in Ukraine's western city of Lviv, a haven for refugees fleeing the war-torn nation, as 30 Russian missiles hit a military base and kill 35 people, just 12 miles from Poland. That's pretty fucking crazy, isn't it? He's hit a Western Ukrainian city that's right on the border with Poland. He's playing with fire, isn't he?
Slip. Пішли.
Бля, як нам повезло, що, блядь, ми з вас, блядь, давно в'їбалися на нам. Та ще ми, вам внизу, може, є, нахуй, нам зараз, що стоп, блядь. Нам зараз,
He's saving the white race, folks. He really is. He's just liberating them with his bombs. They're cheering him on. They're welcoming it, aren't they? They're greeting it with flowers and chocolates. Come in and bomb us. We want to be liberated. We want to be saved, right? I mean, this is a major fucking escalation. This guy wants a huge world conflict. He fucking wants it. He's asking for it. Next, he's gonna... What if one of his bombs just happens to fall on the other side of the fucking border into Poland? And then triggering fucking NATO intervention? Maybe these people want to drag us into a world war. Maybe that's what they want. Maybe they're that fucking insane. That they want us to all to go down with them. Just so they can have their little safety buffer zone. Man, we just need a safety buffer zone because we're so scared. Yeah, they really are. They're willing to bring down the whole fucking planet just to get some little sliver of land over here. Where is it? Donbass. Just to get this tiny little fucking piece of land, just this is what they're going to start a world war over, this fucking little piece of dirt. They're that obsessed with it. They're that enamored with a piece of dirt. Like, these people, of course, who live there, they could easily just go to Russia. Right? They could just move into Russia tomorrow. They have passports. They were given Russian passports. They can just move right into Russia. Right? They don't do it. Why don't they do it? Probably because Putin wants them there. He wants them in Ukraine to as like a hedge against the regime, right? Also, if there's like conflicts, I heard if there's conflicts on territory, countries cannot get into NATO if they have an ongoing conflict zone going on. So it's in his interest to keep this separatist enclave going to prevent Ukraine from getting into NATO, right? They can't get in if they have separatists and other militants on their territory. So do you really think it's just about that thing? I doubt it, man. I doubt it. He's got bigger plans in store. Syrian fighters are headed for Ukraine. Yeah, I covered this the other stream. He's calling in the backups. He's calling in all his allies. These brown poo faces. My base Syrians, dude. So these rapist Muslim Syrians are going to Ukraine to kill, to rape, and to pillage. They see white blood, white flesh, and they want it. These savages, these subhumans, they want to kill white people. They want revenge on the white race. Oh, why? Why is that? Because what? The U.S. and the U.K. and some other countries supported the opposition in Syria. Is that why you want revenge? So you're going to take your revenge on Ukraine, which had nothing to do with it? You see how it works, right? None of these people are our friends or allies. They hate us. They collectively blame us for their woes. They want revenge. They'll never be your friend, your ally. Who the fuck would even think that's possible? They're there. They exist. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their little Syrian empire, right? And now they want to help. They want to help Putin create his Islamo-Eurasian empire. Yes, of course. The rape hordes enter in, and the tankies are all really jovial about it. Quite jovial. All the tankies had a little meetup here, this little communist conference. This fucking mutt-faced gremlin communist faggot.
So much about this stuff about decolonization and, you know, this stuff about critiquing white people or whatever and Europeans. Here you have a situation of all of the guilty world, right, Europe, uniting under the banner of NATO against Russia, which is a semi-Asiatic country to the east. I mean, the irony is incredible. So the leftists, the same ones that have been telling us for so long that, oh, the problem is uniquely some kind of European guilt, are rallying behind a kind of pan-European supremacist renaissance, the revival of neo-Nazism, basically, against Russia, and now also against China. And it's not simply an irony. We should draw a fundamental conclusion from this. And for me, that conclusion is that the so-called American left, in its entirety, cannot be redeemed whatsoever. It's not simply that we can build something from scratch, but we should cease to see leftists as a reservoir from which we should attempt to draw support.
So these people, this is just classic left-wing infighting and factionalism. These people are mad that, like, some of these other leftists don't support Putin or something, don't support China. And you've seen that, right? You've seen these other leftists like Vosh not support China, not support Russia, and actually support more of the U.S. government, probably because those people see Biden as more of their guy than anyone, right? From the perspective of many of these leftists, Joe the pedophile, tranny-obsessed freak Biden, the anti-white lunatic Biden, he's basically their guy. Kamala Harris, their gal. So, of course, many leftists will probably support the U.S. government at this point because it's more progressive. It's more progressive than even the Russian or Chinese government. So these tankies, see, this is the thing with these tankies, is like they're not so focused on that kind of like that left-wing progressivism, like on the social issues. So many leftists are just purely progressives when it comes to social issues. They want all the shit liberty and all that, and for them economics is secondary, foreign policy is secondary. They don't care about that stuff. But for these tanky lunatic communists, for them, 100% of the focus is just economics and foreign policy, right? And their whole modus operandi is to just attack the West, the Western power. This is what they want to bring down. So they don't focus on, like, trannies and fucking feminists. And they support that technically. They're not against it. They just don't talk about it very much. They don't make it a focal point. What they make a focal point is attacking Western power. Things like NATO, the U.S. government, foreign policy. That's where their heart is. Because basically they're playing out this, like, Cold War LARP, right? They think they're actually waging war against the United States all over again. These are like little Che Guevaras having their revenge, doing their guerrilla warfare. against the United States, bring down the great Satan. And yet they choose to live in the United States. If they truly believed it's so bad and evil, then why are they in the United States? Why are all these little tanky queers living in the United States? Why don't they go live in Russia? Why don't they go live in China? Why don't they go live in Cuba, Venezuela? They have plenty of choices. But they refuse to leave. They refuse to exit the hell that they claim they're living in. And you have to ask yourself, is that because they are lying? Is that because they don't believe what they're saying? Probably. They prefer the U.S. These people prefer living in the U.S. All of them do. And including on the people on the dissident right side of things who shill Putin and shill China and all these countries, they refuse to go live there too. They prefer Biden's America to Putin's Russia. They prefer Biden's America to Xi's China. So it's all a big LARP. It's a big scam. They just want to take in the cash, right? Bring in the cash, live their comfortable lifestyles. They don't want to give up their comforts to go live in some other country that has a lower standard of living. See, that's what it's all about. These absolute fucking clowns. They've just come out of the woodwork, right? These are people who whine about every American war, every Western war since time immemorial, right? And as soon as a different country does a war, they're all in. They are all in for that fucking war. They love that fucking war. Right? And it was the same, look, this is the exact same position that these communists had back in the day. Under Stalin and Lenin, they supported every war waged by the Soviet Union. They supported that war in Afghanistan in the 1980s. They supported the Soviet suppression of the Hungarian uprising, the Czech uprisings, and various uprisings in Eastern Europe. They supported sending troops in. You have to understand that these people are imperialists themselves. They just want to do it their way. They just want it to spread their ideology, their political faith. They want to kill as many people as possible in the name of their ideology. Right? They saw that Russian tank go into Ukraine with the Soviet flag. See, these faggots were cooming over that. These commies and tankies were cooming. When they saw in Donetsk they were flying the Stalin flags, and they named their little enclave the People's Republic, which is a communist thing, right? China, People's Republic of China, People's Republic of North Korea, United Soviet Socialist Republics. They just modeled the whole thing in the Soviet Union. That's why they're on this side, folks. They believe this is a rejuvenation of communism and Sovietism. And that's why they're shelling it. Even though Putin is not like a total communist, though. He's not like a total Soviet economic Marxist. He's definitely not. He's definitely morphed and moved away from that. Now he's like kind of just a vague centrist. Centrist on economics, centrist on many issues, but he's just kind of a statist. He wants the power of the KGB. But he's good enough for them, right? Just as China with their mixed economy and 600 billionaires, that's apparently good enough for these socialists, so long as it's not a Western country, right? They're okay with billionaires. They're okay with a mixed economy. So long as it's done in China. So long as it's done in China and it calls itself communist. So long as it's done in Russia. They're okay with some capitalism. They're okay with some billionaires. So long as it's not Western people. Even though Russians are white Europeans. These people are delusional.
Esteemed leader Caleb Maupin, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends.
This guy is George Galloway. This guy is the biggest faggot in the world, dude. This is a classic example of a tanky leftist communist Soviet apologist type. Anti-imperialist. This faggot went around as a human shield in the Middle East trying to stop the war in Iraq. You know, he was filleting Saddam Hussein, filleting Assad. But then as soon as Russia invades Ukraine, this nigger is doing backflips. This nigger is standing and spinning on his fucking head, cooming, because it's white people who are being invaded. And according to him, it's Nazis. It's Nazis being invaded and killed. It's the Soviets are refighting World War II against the Nazis.
I bring you the fraternal greetings of the Workers' Party of Britain and commend you on your fortitude and perseverance in going ahead in these extraordinary circumstances with your important conference in Austin, Texas. I have myself spoken there 20 years ago about the then sanctions regime that was killing Iraqi children, one every 7 minutes before they were old enough even to know that they were Iraqis. I'm not sure when I'll be able to return to Austin, to Texas, to the United States, but it is an honor to be with you on this auspicious occasion. I wish you a peaceful and productive conference. The Center for Political Innovation and its leader, Caleb Maupin, have been lighting the path for patriotic Americans to find a way forward from the grimness of the neoliberal orthodoxy. The great English man of letters, Dr. Johnson, once said, "There is no dictatorship so grim as the dictatorship of the prevailing orthodoxy." The prevailing orthodoxy today is neoliberalism and war, two sides of the same coin, two cheeks of the same ass. They cannot be separated. One ineluctably belongs.
Clown. Neoliberalism. Notice that this term neoliberalism is used exclusively by leftists, by communists, by Marxists. Where does that term come from? It was invented by the Guardian newspaper columnists in the 1970s to describe Margaret Thatcher's economic policies. That's what it is. That's all that it is. All it means is deregulation. That's what that term means. And then you saw the dissident right pick it up. Yeah, the dissident right. And it's coincidentally, the people who most vehemently use that term in the dissident right are these left-wing types. These Strasserists, these Nazbols. They use this term neoliberal too. Now, if you're going to use the term neoliberal, it would be better suited to apply to the social issues, right? These like blue pink haired feminists and trannies and non-binary faggots and all that stuff. You can maybe use that term for them, kind of like a departure away from classical liberalism, which did not endorse any of that crap, right? So it would actually be more fitting to apply to like the mainstream kind of left liberal types that just, you know, wet the bed over microaggressions and fucking nonsense, right? These race hustlers, these feminists, these gay, queer activists, that term would be useful for them, but that's not how these people use it. These people have no problem. These leftists like George Galloway have no issue with those people whatsoever. He supports all that crap. He supports LGBT, he supports feminism, he supports black power. In fact, he is a partisan hack for that side. He uses the term exclusively for this economic policy, this claim that Reagan and Thatcher deregulated the whole economy and privatized everything. It's an exaggeration, of course. They did some deregulation, some privatization. But even Thatcher, she didn't even get rid of the NHS in the UK. State healthcare in the UK, she didn't even manage to get rid of that. She privatized like some railways and a few other state-owned enterprises, but so what? I mean, you always just get them pushing back in the other direction. There's more regulations in the United States and the UK, you know, this octopus of regulations and regulatory bodies over the economy than at any time in the history of these two countries, right? These two countries were the most kind of libertarian economic countries in the 1800s and 1900s in the world. And there's been a steady push towards regulation, high taxation, a push towards universal health care, which they have in the UK, they don't have in the US. You know, Canada has that. These are mixed economies at best. I mean, same as China, same as Russia, mixed economies. And then these losers act like it's some kind of libertarian free-for-all, like there's zero regulations. What the fuck are these people talking about? It's the complete opposite of that. There's more and more permits and licenses and regulations and stuff every year. So they're lying to you when they use this term. They're acting as if they're basically, what they're doing is a trick. They're trying to tell you there's not enough regulation. There's not enough state ownership, right? So if it's a pendulum, it's like two sides of a pendulum. On the far left is pure communism. On the far right is pure free market with zero regulations. Most of these countries are like either in the middle or maybe right here, maybe over here, depending on the country. But these people, so long as the economy is not at communism, is not at the far left, they will continue to call it neoliberal until they pull it over to the left, until they complete the process of communization, right? So until the state owns everything, they will just call it neoliberal so that they can continue to petition for more regulations, more control, more taxation, less private enterprise. So it's a game, it's a trick by communists.
With the other, and the working people of America as the working people of Britain know very well just where this path of neoliberalism and war leads. We've been in this movie before. I was in Texas talking about the war, economic war on Iraq. It very soon led to the hottest possible war. By day 14 of the Anglo-American invasion of Iraq, hundreds of thousands of people lay dead, almost all of them civilians. Remorseless bombardment with the world's most fearsome weapons laid waste the cities and towns and villages of Iraq, which was by then...
So we have a war going on in Ukraine right now, and of course, zero condemnation from this prick. Zero. In fact, full unflinching support for Putin's bombs, and yet he's here ranting about Iraq, a war that's been over for a long time. He's still talking about Fallujah and fucking, you know, all the stuff that went on there. He has to do that because he's trying to run cover for this current war.
And almost defenseless. The situation we find ourselves in today is that the extreme crisis, the extraordinary crisis of American and Western capitalism is seeking ways out at the expense of poor people in other parts of the globe. As I address you, British and American weapons are raining down on the defenseless people of Yemen. And in fact, British and American officers are in the command and control centers that are guiding the aeroplanes of the Saudi and Emirati air forces in to drop and fire their weapons that were sold to them by Britain and the United States. But of course, the world cares little for the moment of the agony.
Oh, so he cares about dead civilians. He cares about dead people, victims of war, victims of bombing, when they're brown Yemenis. You see how it works with these people? They only care about brown people. They only care about third worlders, Muslims, non-white, non-Christian people. That's what it's all about. That's what his whole career has been about from the very beginning, is to play the violin for the poor, oppressed, third world, brown people. These are the types of people who go around saying that, like, the Western world is so evil and is exploiting, doing neo-colonialism in Africa and the Middle East. That's what this is. It's just neo-colonialism. It's just white supremacy. And these are the people who go around saying, like, that the third world is kept poor and kept in poverty by the IMF and the World Bank, and it's all just predatory to keep down the brown people, the brown third world, and to suck all the resources out of it and keep them poor so that the white man can flourish in the West. That's the narrative these people have built up. This is Guardian newspaper talking points. The left, the far left, the tanky left. It's this scapegoating of white people for the failures of browns and blacks. It's not because they're just low IQ. It's not because they don't know how to create successful economies. It's because of the West. It's because of capitalism. It's because of neoliberalism. Well, the most socialized economy in Africa was Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe. Why is it that under Robert Mugabe, a guy who literally kicked out all of the white people and had like almost no relations with the West and was in bed with the Soviet Union and had a communist economy, why is it that his country went to absolute shit? Why is it that his currency in Zimbabwe turned to toilet paper quicker than any other country in the world? The Zimbabwean currency was so worthless. They had $1 billion and $1 trillion bills because it was so completely worthless. The highest inflation ever in the history of the world, highest inflation. It was the most socialized economy in Africa. So if they're correct, and it's the fault of neoliberalism, which they're referring to just an open market economy, then why is it that the most closed off economy in Africa is the shittiest and the most disastrous economy on that continent? Who caused that? Was it these evil Westerners that did it? No, it was fucking these retarded black communists themselves. It's the economic system and the fact that they're low IQ and kicked out all of the farmers who were producing the food for that nation. Like Africa, the most of the countries in Africa, they are not free market economies. They are heavily regulated, heavily controlled, tons of restrictions, regulations, import tariffs, all that stuff. And then he's blaming it all on capitalism. This is what they always do. It's like their economic system fails. It's their own doing. And then they just scapegoat this other thing. It's always the case. That's what Cuba did for the longest time, right? So when Cuba was embargoed by the U.S., that was a very convenient thing for them, because then they could just blame all of their economic woes on this embargo and not actually their own policies, right? It's the embargo. It's not the fact that we don't let anyone run businesses in our countries or open up businesses and this only the state can do that. It's not the fact that our system itself is garbage. It's the embargo. Very convenient.
The calvary of the people of poor Yemen, as it cares poor little Yemenis, for man. The crucifixion of the it's Palestinian the Yemenis, people on a daily basis in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, and most of all in the Gaza Strip, where 2 million people are held prisoner and are shot at like fish in a barrel by, again, weapons supplied, this case, by the United States. A state of Israeli occupation made possible only by the apparently endless subventions of American taxpayers' dollars to the occupying force. But the world is looking elsewhere. It is looking at the agony of the Ukraine. But the agony of Ukraine, in their mind, began 14 or so days ago. But in truth, thanks to Caleb Maupin and the Center for Political Innovation in America, we know that the war on the Ukraine began not by a Russian incursion into the country and not 14 days ago, but all of 8 years ago. Although the number 14 is important, 14,000 Ukrainians were slaughtered by the Ukrainian armed forces and their advance guard, the ultra-nationalist and even neo-Nazi forces that were right on the front line.
There it is. Every time. They got the script down to a T, don't they, these people, right? Neo-Nazis, genocide against the Donbass, NATO encroachment. They have all the talking points, right? These are all the excuses that are being used. 14,000 dead. Yeah, that includes all the tens of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers that were also killed in that war in eastern Ukraine. He's acting like this was some one-way genocide, that not a single Ukrainian or soldier or civilian or militiaman was killed by the separatists. Didn't they shoot down that fucking airliner? Remember when they shot down that civilian airplane? Was it MH17 or something like that? The separatists shot that thing down. They thought it was a military jet, and they shot down a civilian fucking plane and killed 300 people. But they didn't do nothing, right? It's not those people funded by Russia to occupy this territory to cause a problem for that country. It's just some, like, unprovoked attack by Ukraine, right? So, yeah, well, both sides have killed. Both sides have kidnapped and tortured and so on, right? But what's funny is that, like, this separatist movement in eastern Ukraine, imagine that was happening in Russia, right? Imagine some separatists had tried to take a piece of Russia away from it. Putin would instantly completely fucking annihilate them. And that's exactly what he did with Chechnya back in the 90s, right? The Chechen separatists, these Muslim separatists, tried to break off from Russia, and Putin obliterated them. He carpet bombed Grozny, Chechnya. Go look it up. Go look at the footage. He completely fucking obliterated the whole city with fucking vacuum bombs and cluster bombs. Killed thousands of civilians just so he can give them a big hug and bring the Muslims back into Russia. So these people are frauds. They don't. When it's on their side, when the separatists are menacing their state, they act with no mercy whatsoever. But then when Ukraine fights separatists, they condemn and point the finger, and any little human rights abuse, they will amplify it, right? It's a joke. George Galloway, he supports mass murder. He supports genocide when it's done by his team, by a bunch of poo faces. Look at this fag. He's a race mixer. He's got mixed race children. He's one of the biggest Antifa people in the UK. He's a huge anti-white zealot. He supports mass immigration, supports multiculturalism, all of the woes. He just has a special fetish for brown people. This chick accused him of being into interracial cuckold fetish. So Galloway is a notorious fucking poonhound who has like three, he's had four different wives. Who knows how many fucking mistresses this guy's had. This Iranian chick said he's a degenerate faggot who's into interracial cuckold fetish. Says a small minority of white men suffer from a disorder named interracial cuckold fetish. This is where the white male gets sexually aroused by watching black males engage in sex with a white female. According to the Galloway's purported ex-girlfriend, he suffers from this disorder. The woman in the clip, Roxana Shirazi, is of Iranian extraction. Her family was actively involved in the Respect political party of Galloway. She appeared on the talk sport radio show. Galloway made numerous sexual comments towards her during the broadcast. Some people do not believe her claim that George Galloway had pictures of Saddam Hussein in his house. George Galloway conducted an interview in his home in the 1990s. The footage from that interview shows that his house was decked out with images of the infamous dictator. Yeah, he probably fucking jerks off to Saddam Hussein and Assad and Castro. Yeah, he's just, at the end of the day, he just supports anything that falls afoul of the U.S. government or whatever, right? He was on a reality TV show where he dressed up like a faggot tranny. He pretended to be a cat and drank out of a bowl. This guy is sick. Look at this little nigger right here. Look at this faggot. Total freak. Is any of that surprising to you, folks? Is any of this crap shocking to you? Why is it that these communists are always the most deviant sickos out there? Yeah. And look, an Iranian woman stabs a man in the neck as revenge for U.S. drone strikes. An Iranian woman has been accused of stabbing her online date to avenge an Iranian military leader who was killed by an American drone strike in 2020. She's been charged with attempted murder for attacking a man she met on a dating site while they were in bed together at the Las Vegas hotel. So a disgusting slut meets some guy on Tinder and then tries to kill him as revenge for that assassination of the Iranian general, this guy, by Trump. But my based Iranians, man, these are our friends. They're going to help us. They're going to help us take down Globo Homo, man. No, they're going to fucking stab you in the neck is what they're going to do. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill and rape as revenge. See, this is why you cannot permit any brown person into our countries. They will simply use whatever our governments do to their people over there as justification to take revenge against us. Do you really think they split hairs between the government and the people, the nation and the government? Of course not. They're going to blame every single American for what Trump does or what Biden does or what Obama did. You blame every British person for what Tony Blair did, or Gordon Brown, or Boris Johnson. And of course, you know, her own government in Iran kills thousands of people, has killed thousands of people. Since the revolution, I think they killed like 30,000, they hung 30,000 people from cranes during that revolution. You know, they fucking abuse their own people. I'm sure they're killing plenty of people in Iraq, Afghanistan. And her gay country supported the invasion of Afghanistan back in 2001 to get rid of their rivals. These people, they're fucking hypocrites. They're a joke. You know, they have no moral high ground. Give me a break. These brown people pretend they have a moral high ground because they were bombed and stuff. It's like, yeah, well, before you were bombed by the U.S., you were bombed by Iraq, by your fellow brown poo people. And before you were bombed by Iraq, you were hanging thousands of your own people from cranes. You want to tell me you got a moral high ground? So now we got this nigger right here. This little nigger. He says that he's a Negro who bashed two female cops, walks free after saying he can get away with anything because he's black. A man who bashed two female cops threatened to kill them before telling police he wouldn't get locked up because he's black, has walked free from jail. Yak Dute was pursued by the female police officers when they saw him driving a Volkswagen with a missing wheel near Melbourne. He stopped outside his house, assaulted the officer so violently they were rushed to hospital. He threatened to hunt them down and kill them with their own guns. He was confident he would avoid jail because he's a Kenyan born with dark skin. I will get away with anything because I'm black and I will play the race card, he told the police. There it is, folks. Straight out of the horse's mouth. They know the score. They know how to play that game. He appeared in the county court of Victoria, where he was sentenced to 12 months behind bars, but was able to walk free due to time served already. He had been in prison since his arrest in February 2018. These brown people, these Negroes, they understand how to do the race hustle. They see that the white race is weak, dilapidated, is being abused, is being gaslit in the media. They know the score. They know the tide is in their favor, and they will take advantage. They will kill. They can go and try to kill cops and get 12 months in prison, 1 year. That's it. That's a black privilege. Right? He knows, this little nigga, he knows that his black poo skin affords him extreme leniency in the justice system, the supposedly systemically racist justice system. And he fucking knows damn well it is rigged for his race. They all know it, but they have to continue to lie to you and say that it's so systemically racist and biased against black people, while at the same time, they know damn well it's the opposite, and they even say it. They even vocalize it, right? They're so arrogant. We got one other story here. This is pretty damn sick. I posted this today. Posing and pouting over the camera, the Swiss prison guard still on the run with a Syrian rapist. She helped break out of jail, who's now believed to be hiding in Greece. Swiss police guard who busted her Syrian rapist lover out of jail is still on the run with a convict using the car bought for her by her estranged husband. So this slut, this deranged kook-brained whore took a car that her husband bought her, broke a Syrian Muslim rapist out of jail, and has given the car to him. Angela McDeechy, 32, opened the cell door for her rapist, for serial rapist Hassan Kiko during the night shift at Lamadal prison in Zurich, and vanished with him. A new video shows the married prison guard pouting and posing in a brand new car bought by her estranged husband, with the bar-crossed lovers later used to escape. This is like hebristophilia on steroids, right? These women who are attracted to serial killers and rapists and just degenerate criminals. This is it on steroids. This woman is fucked in the head. She's going for that rape. That rapey brown lover boy, right? She probably she's one of these chicks that fetishizes about getting raped, right? They go look that up. A lot of women, they have rape fantasies, and this is probably one of them. A sick freak wants to get raped and abused by this subhuman. Some of our people are too far gone, folks. They get what they deserve, right? She's going to be raped and killed by this guy, and good riddance. It's her own choosing. It's her own doing. She deserves it. There's nothing you or I can or should do to save her. She's made her bed, and now she should lie in it. Disgusting, man. That is just outrageous. These women just throwing away their lives to get a little taste of foreign exotic meat. That's what this is. It's a fetish. A lot of these women, like, they live and they're surrounded by white men. They're surrounded by tall white men. And it's just not cutting it anymore. It's the familiarity. So they get aroused by these foreign brown poo faces. It's just because it's exotic, it's different. And that's like going on some holiday vacation in some fucking Asian tropical country. For them, for these women, this is essentially the same thing, right? Hitching up with some freak. Yeah, well, some of our people are too far gone. Some of our people are genetic dead ends. And they will be sucked into the vortex of the racial hellfire, ladies and gentlemen. I should be a street preacher. I should get on the streets and start preaching. All right, let me go check the super chats. Don't want to go on too long today. Give me a second, folks, and I will be right back. Thank you. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. I appreciate your patience. Let me get these super chats pulled up here, and then we'll round out the stream. We got one from Michelle Obama. Says, love from France, Martinez President. Well, thank you very much, Michelle Obama, for that generous super chat. Vive la France. Vive la France. Eric Drave says, maybe the reasons for the invasion are non-logical, non-secular. Have a good one. Stay white. Appreciate that, Eric. Space Kang says, do you think the rumors are true? Ukraine has been pulling over fleeing civilians and killing them, bombing their own territory, or is this to push the Nazi talking points? No, that is clearly just the Kremlinite, Duganite talking points. From the beginning of this thing, they have been making outrageous claims that it's all crisis actors. The war is not even happening. Like, you saw the Q-tards pushing that shit from the beginning. They were using fake videos. I covered it in the stream the other day. They were recaptioning videos from, like, climate protests with, like, fake dead people and saying this was in Ukraine. And, yeah, dude, the fakery is outrageous on the Kremlin side. The fakery on the Ukraine side that I've seen so far have been just a couple embellished stories about, like, the ghost of Kiev shooting down Russian planes, and that story on the island where they claimed that they were killed and they weren't. But, that's pretty standard for any wars. Every side is going to engage in some kind of deception or embellishment to boost morale and stuff like that, right? But from what I'm seeing from these pro-Kremlinite sources online is they're willing to just fake everything and anything. I mean, these are people that went back to... these are people that were faking shit back in 2014 and so on, claiming that the Ukrainians are crucifying Russian speakers. Right, they put out a fake video of Azov supposedly crucifying someone. It cuts out just as the fire comes up to, like, burn the guy. The video cuts out. Like, it's fake. I played a thing the other day. I talked about how they made a fake ISIS camp in in Ukraine, saying that it was Azov and ISIS working together. Like, they're willing to fake so much shit. And it's the same stuff you hear there. It's like, no Ukrainian civilians have died, and the only ones who have died are faked or killed by their own people. Dude, this is lunacy. This is nuts. You've seen the fucking clips. They don't even deny they killed civilians. They just bombed that fucking military base or whatever in near Lviv and killed 35 people. They don't even deny this shit. They bombed that hospital in Mariupol. They don't deny it. They didn't deny it. They just said that it was a base for the Nazis and shit, right? Let me pull up this thing here. Let me pull up this one thing. Yeah, just to kind of illustrate my point here. So this was from let's see here. I remember this when it got kicked off. It says this was in 2014 July 12th on Russian television 2014. They aired an interview with a woman claiming to be a refugee from eastern Ukraine. Galina Pashanyak told the Kremlin's official Channel 1 that upon entering Slovyansk, occupied by Russian militants in April, Ukrainian forces herded city residents to the central square and publicly executed a small boy and his mother. whose husband was a member of the separatist militia. Pishniak describes how the town watched as a boy was nailed to a wooden board and crucified, while his mother was tied to a tank and dragged around the square until she was dead. There's no evidence to support Pishniak's claim. However, she maintains that there were plenty of people who witnessed the crime.
Сегодня ровно неделя с того дня, как...
So, this was from 2014. They actually tried to claim this. They actually ran with this story of a crucifixion of a boy. Novaya Gazeta photojournalist visited Slovyansk and spoke to its residents about Pishniak's claims. Nobody backed up Pishniak's allegations, and those who were present on the central square when Ukrainian soldiers all arrived said that the Ukrainian army behaved in a civilized fashion. We did not see that. Nobody was beaten. Nothing was attacked, just the opposite. TV Rain journalist Timur Olevsky, who returned to Moscow from Slovyansk, described the situation. The first thing he noticed upon arriving in Slovyansk early in the morning one day after the Ukrainian army entered the city was a large number of people hurrying to the central square. There was no mobile telephones, but everyone knew through the mouth trucks had arrived. If a boy had been crucified, it would have been impossible to hide this from the city's residents. Ukrainian Channel 1+1 television reported that Pishniak's family themselves said it was likely she had told her story for money. Meanwhile, Slovyansk police said that Pishniak often filed complaints against her own family, claiming that her daughter robbed her and her husband abused her physically. They literally just pull up these fucking desperate people and use them for propaganda. They use them for propaganda. These are the kind of fakes that you see. There was, this one here. This was the Azov Battalion one. So they posted this video claiming Azov Battalion crucified a guy. And, you know, conveniently comes out on these, like, pro-Kremlin kind of vague Facebook accounts. Of course, Azov totally denied that they did this. And you'd think that if they did do this, they would take credit for it. If they did this, they would be doing it as, like, sort of like ISIS-style propaganda to deter, you know, the Russian separatists. But they deny that they did it. Why would they do that? And secondly, like, the video, like, anyone can get that Azov patch. It's easily faked. You can't really see them nail him clearly. He doesn't scream when they pull him up, when they lift the cross. He doesn't scream or yell, even though it would have been very painful. And then as soon as the fire reaches his feet, the video cuts out. Now, why would that be? If the if this was truly a real thing, why would they cut it out? Why wouldn't they show it all? Wouldn't they be proud of it? I mean, that's what the purpose of the video would be, right? Very, very dubious. And this is the kind of shit that they put out. And people are believing this stuff, right? These Q-tards and, you know, these other people. They're believing this crap, right? They're pushing the same stuff now, during the war, right? You can expect to hear a few more crucifixion stories as this war goes on. But, yeah, I mean, it's littered with propaganda. So when they speak about genocides, the genocide, I mean, consider the source, right? Consider the fucking source. Like, they're willing to say anything. They're willing to make up anything. Now they're running with this biolab story and saying that Ukraine and the U.S. were building fucking, gene bombs to use against Russians, even though Ukrainians have the same genes as Russians. Or they were going to infect birds with viruses and send them into Russia. Dude, they're just throwing anything they can at the wall. They know people will believe it. They know these QTAR people will believe anything. You know, why is it that they didn't say anything about these bio labs prior to this? They knew they were there. It was pretty open that these things were there. They didn't care. Do you think that Russia doesn't have intelligence in Ukraine and could have easily infiltrated these facilities prior to this? They didn't say shit. Because they didn't give a fuck. Because they didn't think it was a threat. They're just using it now because it's very convenient to use it now to beef up their case for war. They will use anything now. Right? Anything to direct your attention away from what they're doing. Basically, this is the strategy, is to get you not to focus on what they're doing and their bombings and their shellings, and get you to focus on some story, some conspiracy story that they can use to portray themselves as the victims, right? Yeah, I mean, do you really think... I mean, they all have biolabs. Russia has fucking biolabs. China has biolabs. They're all doing bio research. I mean, Russia has fucking labs where they cook up poisons that they use to kill people, right? They've been doing that since Soviet times. It's all just tit for tat shit, man. You saw this during the COVID pandemic. Remember China was like... Remember Donald Trump was accusing China of creating the coronavirus in the Wuhan lab? And then China accused the U.S. of making coronavirus. And they just started accusing each other. It's the same shit. It's the same tit-for-tat bullcrap. All right, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Always good to speak to y'all. Remember, I'm live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to end out the stream with a tune. Thank you very much. I appreciate all you people commenting there in the chat room here in Odyssey. Thank you for the super chats. As always, ladies and gentlemen, white fucking power. And I'll see you again on Wednesday. Take care.